B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. Seven-five, the Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. Another short day today, so we'll make it count. You know, today the Flyers are on at 4, and you can hear that on 97.5 The Fanatic, and watch it on NBC Sports Philly. And don't the Flyers right now feel like it's a hot day, and you're dipping into a pool?
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's like yeah. Just think about all the angst that we've been going through the last couple of days, right? With the Phillies and the situation, the COVID, and then the bullpen is aggravating us, and the Sixers winning again last night, but we go, hey, it's not there. Ben Simmons is now a little banged up, so we don't know whether he's going to play the rest of these games anyway. So they go into the playoffs, they are what they are, and we go, we need something. So tonight, here comes, or it's late this afternoon, 4 o'clock, the Flyers and the Caps in a big test. The good news, I guess, is that the Bruins knocked themselves out of top one or two seed. So it's up for grabs. And if the Flyers grab this number one seed, it's going to be excellent. Now, it's not like home ice advantage excellent, but it's still excellent. And they go in as the number one seed. So today is a telling game for the Flyers. Unfortunately, the Union now out. So two sports that have been eliminated. The Union and the Phillies. Because there's no way. Like look at yesterday, right? Here it is. They get the benefit of the doubt. They get a 7-inning game with two good starting pitchers going. And you think if there's ever a chance that they can get a doubleheader in here, we'd be there. And the one game they really should win is the game Aaron Nola pitches, and they can't get a win out of it because the bullpen stinks. And I started to think about this. When they bring Tommy Hunter in this game, I've always asked this question about Tommy Hunter. What is the frickin' fascination with Tommy Hunter that they had to have him? Like, what is the fact? Oh, we got to have Tommy Hunter. What? Why? What do you have Tommy Hunter for? Like, what's the benefit of Tommy Hunter? When's the last time he's been a really effective relief pitcher?
Been a long time. You've once asked me before the show, how does he get anybody out?
I don't know how he gets anybody out. I don't know what's so special about Tommy Hunter that they would send him out there. Unfortunately, these aren't all 7-inning games, so... With the state of starting pitching, where they can only go 5 or 6 max, just think about it. They've got no chance. So there you go. It's a season without baseball, which leads us like right into the Flyers,
A breath of fresh air.
It absolutely does. I feel good about them against the Caps tonight. I mean today, 4 o'clock, and then it'd be nice if there was a bit of a intrigue on Saturday. Because if they win, then the Lightning game on Saturday is for the first seed.
Mm-hmm.
That would be exciting to see. I really believe in this team. They have some nice momentum. I'm excited. I'm flyered up. I know you're cup crazy now.
I'm cup crazy.
I know you are, Mike.
I'm ready.
Well, it's self-explanatory here. You look at the Flyers, you go, this is the only team where you go, I don't know. You know, you look at the other teams, you can look at the Sixers, you can make an, I don't know. This guy, yeah. You look at the Phillies. this team, you go, really? There's nothing that gives you angst about the Flyers, which is refreshing because we certainly need that. So we will talk about both these things. Let's try to analyze what the Sixers are right now. And it's going to be hard to tell. Ben Simmons, I don't think, will play the rest of the time.
No.
Right? Will he play at all in any of the last four games?
Probably not. Five left? Yeah, five left. I don't think he plays any of them. And then the question becomes, will he be ready for the first round? Because it's that partial dislocation. We don't know how much it was dislocated, and they're not going to tell us.
Yeah.
They're going to do some more tests and stuff, and they're going to say he's just out for now. We're not going to get clear answer from the bubble, and there's nobody who can dig but so much because they can hide him in the bubble.
The other problem, even if he's ready, you know, we talked about this yesterday now, this disconnect on how they're trying to play with him in a different position. And that needed time to kind of, you know, flourish. And so now they're going to go into the playoffs. I don't think he's going to go back to giving them the ball. I think when they start the playoffs, they will start with this new alignment. And it hasn't had enough time to even give us an indication on whether it's going to be any good. So whatever they are, they are. I look at it, but I go, here's what I know. They're not one of the top teams. Other than that, I don't know anything more about them. I mean, what do you see that they are, Tyrone?
Well, they have one player who's playing at a very high level.
Mm-hmm.
Tobias looks more aggressive, and that's where it stops. So I know about two guys right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough.
No.
And the bench, I have no idea about. Horford, I'm assuming Horford's going to go back to starting.
Mm-hmm.
I assume. I don't know for sure, but he'll go back to starting. Maybe him and Embiid can figure something out. It's now, there's now an immense amount of pressure. If the Sixers were going to do anything, it's now just all on Joel Embiid. It's like Iverson all over again in a way. He's a little more help, but not really. It's kind of like if they're going to win, it's all about him now.
The other thing is, they're going to go into the playoffs still not knowing what the rotation is. Because it's all disjointed now. Without Bandy, you plug this guy in to be in the starting lineup. And so you don't. Now, Robinson and Scott, are they going to be in the mix? Do you now have to wait to the playoffs to see if they fit in, you know, because of these injury things? Like, well, what are you going to do there?
I think Mike Scott's close. I think Mike Scott probably will play. I don't know about Robinson, but I think he'll play tomorrow, Mike Scott. They'll probably give him a look off the bench because you're a guy short.
I need the people, I know I'm fighting against the current here, but I need people to give me some kind of Sixer optimism. I'm yearning for the people to see a glimmer of light and hope in what the Sixers are. And because I want to buy into, whether it's fantasy or not, I could ride with fantasy for a couple of days to make me feel better.
Well, your big man looks like he can get 30 and 10 whenever he wants.
Yes.
Not that many guys can get 30 and 10 whenever they want.
No, you're right, but that's not good enough to be a good team, apparently, because they struggled against three mediocre teams. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he does that against a good team. Do they win? I don't know. They're almost losing to these teams with him doing it.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that they're not fully digging in defensively yet, and they're not going until the time comes.
Okay.
And they're capable of more. And if you play great, just like Iverson, you play great defense, you got a guy who can go out there and get you 30, and you can win. If a guy can get you 30 a night, and you play great defense, you can beat anybody on a given night. And it looks like Embiid can get you 30 a night. It's going to be tougher now without Simmons for a while.
Yeah.
But if you got a guy that can get you 30 every night and you play great defense around that guy, you can win.
Yeah.
You absolutely can.
All right. Good. I like that.
Yeah, you shoot other teams defensively, and you got a guy who gets you 30, and when you need a bucket, you get it to that guy, and he can score.
I'll take that optimism.
All right.
All right?
Yeah.
All right. Quickly, on the Phillies, I watched a lot of baseball last night. I'm flipping back and forth, obviously, but I'm going to watch the whole second game. Every pitch. I saw an at-bat in that we were talking about Hoskins yesterday.
Yeah.
I saw an at-bat that officially cements the fact that he has no confidence.
Oh, no.
And it was when it was a 3-1 count. And he is in a fastball count. And he took a 3-1 fastball for strike two.
What?
Now, yeah. in the game. Now, he wound up walking, I think. But that moment is indicative of a player who has no confidence. Because at that moment, an aggressive hitter goes, all right, 3-1. If he's going to throw me slider, it's strike two. But I'm sitting back because I'm going to get a cookie fastball here. And so my mindset is aggressive. His mindset was the opposite. Yeah. And that is a guy struggling with confidence, thinking that he can't hit. And that is sad. So I don't know what has happened to the guy, but that one moment crystallized for me that man, I'm afraid to hit. I can't hit. So I'm going to take this pitch. Instead of 3-1, oh, this is just where I want him. I'm slobbering over this like I'm a carnivore. He took it. Strike two. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in to the Mike Mussinelli Show. We are on to, 343 today?
It's something like that. The Flyers are a little bit different, but it'll be around that range.
Okay, we're only on NBC Sports Philadelphia the first hour. It'll lead you into the Flyers pregame show. And then we'll be on radio till 343. So stuff those phone calls in because I want to hear from you. Mike Mussinelli Show, 610-632-0975. We are back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's Mike Mussinelli's show on an abbreviated show today on a Thursday. Flyer hockey on the radio today. 2 o'clock hour still brought to us, however, by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. General Knowledge Wednesday, we missed that yesterday. We'll move it to Friday, so we'll have a big day on Friday. Meanwhile, it is time to start our Twitter poll, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown, PA. Natalie Eganoff, what is today's Twitter poll?
Thanks, Mike. Over 200 votes on this one early. Are the Flyers the only source of optimism? 84% say yes. 12% say no, still have the Sixers. 4% say no, still have the Phillies. So
there's some Sixer people hanging in there. See, this is the thing. You can't con this fan base. You really can't. This fan base sees what I see, what everybody else sees. They're short. They're just short.
You know what bothered me, too, was before he got hurt, and I'm not, it's problematic that he's hurt, and let's hope he gets back to 100%. He wasn't playing that well before the injury, even in that game. He was 2-10 from the field,
yeah.
50% from the foul line, mm-hmm. Still not really guarding anybody.
So you think maybe there's something amiss with him to begin with physically?
I think so. And I think that probably, they say it all the time, while he was rehabbing the back, I bet you the back is sound.
Mm-hmm.
But probably something else was buckling as he was compensating for the back. Because I don't think he forgot how to play defense. I don't think he forgot how to make a layup.
Where do they go from here? If things end the way we think they will inevitably end, we know that there will be a coaching change. But then where else do they go? Because they need to be a champion in this league, and frankly, to win your conference, you got to have more than what you have. And they kind of floundered around, we'll add this guy, we'll add this guy. And we've got three solid rock players, but like, where do they go?
I think what they're going to have to find an emerging player. Or they're going to have a player that they currently have emerging away like the Raptors did. Last year, Kawhi and all those guys were great, and he was terrible against the Sixers, but against the Bucks and then in the finals, Van Fleet was out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
He was a second-round pick.
Yeah.
I think an undrafted player, actually, who came in year two. Shaq Milton needs to be Van Fleet. They need a player to emerge who doesn't make any money, who ends up better than their draft slot. They don't win the championship without Van Fleet taking a step. So that's one step, is they need either a Thybulle or Shake or both to take a step right now, far beyond where they are right now. And then the other thing is, you have a very tradable contract in Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
And if Thybulle's going to be, or Shake are going to be long-term starters, maybe you do something to change the roster with that spot.
I think he's the only guy that's marketable, frankly, when you look at it.
Yeah, as far as moving him, you can't move Horford's contract.
To actually get somebody.
Right. So I think that's what they'll need. And most of the teams, that happened. That even happened with the Shaq and Kobe Lakers. There's a second. I remember when the Kings coach, Walton, all of a sudden was getting big minutes for him. He wasn't supposed to. So they're going to need a guy who wasn't slotted to be a guy, step up. And I don't think that's out of the question that one of those two guys emerges, or maybe both. It's not out of the question. It's not impossible. But they probably need to make a move there.
Yeah, well,
unfortunately.
Yeah, listen, we're just looking ahead now. We're not wishing any ill will on this franchise right now.
I hope they win.
We still hope they can do something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were saying to get to that next level.
Yes.
If the stars keep evolving, let's say Harris is what he is. But if Simmons still has room to get better, and so does Embiid. So if those guys keep getting better, then I think you need a developmental guy to step up, plus another move. And then your stars have to carry you.
All right.
You don't think it's impossible that those two guys get better, though?
No,
it's not impossible.
I just don't know what to feel anymore about this team. They're just not right. It's not the right mix. The jigsaw puzzle has not been completed the right way. And now it's like, okay, we gotta make a major adjustment, go in another direction. And who knows how long that'll take. I'm just kind of discouraged about it.
I got a little optimism.
What's that?
From Jim Salisbury.
Yeah.
The Phillies have not announced their starter for Sunday. He feels like it's going to be Spencer Howard.
It should be. I mean, they need something to give their fans right now. They need a little bit of the juice, make them interesting.
Our guy Matt Breen also thinks the same thing. They haven't announced it, but he also thinks that. So
no reason why they wouldn't. No reason not to at this point. Yeah,
really.
My God, what would just be saving? All right, Gene in Doylestown, start us off today. Gene, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gene.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
What's up, Gene?
Oh, you know, same stuff, different day. I watched the Sixers and the Phillies yesterday, much like you, back and forth between both. And you took the thought right out of my head. Rhys Hoskins looks like he's got no guy. He looks lost up there. And, you know, I don't know what to do to change it. You know, shave the mustache, put the shoes on it different. But he's got to do something different. I could just
go into that guy's head right now. You can almost see the expression on his face, and he's not the same guy. He's guessing. He believes he can't hit, and he's just hoping and crossing his fingers up there instead of knowing what you got. I mean, that guy used to let it loose. He had a one-piece swing. He was confident. It didn't matter whether it was breaking stuff or fastballs. He was on everything. And now he has the mindset, oh no, I can't hit. And you got to get rid of that with a sports psychologist or something.
It's like he's up there looking for a walk because he's so almost.
Well, that 3-1 fastball that he took is exactly what he's trying to do. I mean, he's got guys on base in that at-bat, I think. And he still took that fastball, 3-1 fastball.
And the other observation is as obvious as the nose on my face. The bullpen is horrible. They got nothing there. It's no wonder the starters feel like they have to be heroes every time they take the
ball. What made them think they had something there? See, that's the point. You got to go back to the roots of this thing. What made them think? What were they guessing? You can't guess when you throw guys in your bullpen. And Girardi, I got good news for Girardi. He's the first guy that should know he's got nothing in the bullpen. And say, to Holmes, you got to give me more than this.
A little more. Give me something. I mean, like you said, why do we keep singing Tommy Hunter? What's he doing on this roster? And I'm sorry, but the vets they let go, I'd rather see what they could have done, like a Liriano or Suriano, whoever that was. I'm sorry, I forgot his name at the moment.
Yeah, they didn't want to pay Liriano. They wanted to go cheaper.
It's ridiculous. And now look what's happening. I mean, it's you get what you pay for, Michael.
I hear you, bro.
And as far as the Sixers go, I mean, with all that talent on the team, how can we not be looking directly at the head coach and saying, why can't he manage these guys better? Why can't he get more out of their talent? Again, I don't want to beat up on him. It's not all his fault. But when I see teams consistently play down to a lesser level team, I got to look at the
coach. You might be overrating their talent, though. They got three players. They got three players you can count on from night to night. The rest you can't. Yeah, a lot of it's his fault. I get it. You got to put together pieces, man, that fit. Good general managers do that. You know, this is a baseball thing as far as the bullpen goes. I've never been a Hunter fan, but the guy that I said I don't know how he gets anybody out was that side wheeling guy.
Oh, Neshek?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, Neshek.
I don't know how he got anybody out. Hunter at least will get you to 92.
Yeah.
That dude, Neshek. Man, he fooled people for a lot of years. I love those relief pitchers, man. They just hang on, they hang on, they hang on. That guy came in for the Yankees yesterday. The Phillies had him for a cup of coffee. That Avilan.
Yeah.
These guys just get reprocessed to go to this team. They're so desperate for these bullpen arms.
Well, how come Charlie and them were able to find a scrap heap J.C. Romero? And he was completely unhittable.
Well,
and where's that guy this year? JC had a little help apparently.
He had a lot of help.
Had a lot of help. We found out later.
Yeah,
but he was unhittable.
He was.
And he was on the scrap heap.
Maybe because he got a lot of help to take him off the scrap heap. And then Madsen, I remember Madsen.
He was unbelievable.
He was. But you remember that we were talking about Madsen, and I was you weren't with me at the time. I don't think.
No.
I was seeing this guy who does this thing called ART.
What is that?
It's a physical therapy.
Oh, okay.
They get into the soft tissue and they really manipulate it.
Yeah.
And he worked with Madsen. He was working with the Phillies at the time. And Madsen got his velocity up to 97.
Yes.
Because he wasn't that.
No, especially when he was a starter.
Right. So those guys made themselves, for whatever, however they did it,
right,
they made themselves viable. The only guy who fooled people, he had been a journeyman too, and he performed. See, these regular pitchers, they're like kickers in a lot of ways. Some years they figured out,
right,
and most of the time they don't. The other guy was Durbin.
Yes, Durbin got a lot of people out during the run.
Durbin helped them out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So you never know when it's going to happen.
Right.
All right, let's go Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys. Wanted to talk about Hoskins. You know, Charlie used to have a term, I think he called it hitterish. You know, somebody looking hitterish. And if there's somebody that looks the opposite of hitterish, it's Hoskins. You know, it's amazing. I mean, he messed around the end of the season last year with that launch angle crap. And it seems like ever since then, he's just lost his confidence. You know, I mean, he seems to know the strike zone.
He knows the strike zone too well. Like, I get it that he gets on base and it's not. You're talking about a guy who's a valuable part in your line who needs to drive the ball. Yeah, it's nice he gets on base with a walk. I need more aggression than him getting 6-7 pitch at bats.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, a lot of guys, you know, will expand the zone and go to the opposite field, or, you know, they're just going after the ball. And I just wonder if it's not time to, it seems drastic, but to sit him for a while and bring a guy like Bohm maybe up and play first base, he might give you something. I mean, Hoskins he's flailing.
I think he might get to that. Here's the thing. They reduced their roster to 28 now. So to bring Bohm on the roster and to bring Howard on the roster, it's two other guys who have to go.
Oh, okay.
So, well, you know, I who would be the next guy to go?
It'd probably
be Neil Walker. Because Gosselin's hitting the ball. So it'll probably be Neil Walker.
Well, they got so much crap in the bullpen. Surely they could trim that down.
Yeah, but who are they going to bring in? who goes to the bullpen? You're going to take somebody out. Howard's going to be in the starting rotation, right? So what are you going to move Velasquez to the bullpen? I guess they'll probably do that.
Well, maybe, I guess. Or if you take somebody out that's not productive, what are you losing?
Yeah, but you still have to have numbers.
Yeah.
You still have to have roster numbers. And there's nobody out there. There's no 98 mile per hour throwing Dominican who's out of a job right now. I don't think. Yeah, think about their bullpen. They don't have anybody that comes in and throws gas. Pivetta, maybe. But he's just, he's ridiculous.
That's part of the reason why I think they misplayed it. I would service time, whatever. I would have Velasquez, since they decided to keep him, because I would be okay with him and Pivetta not being on the team. But once they decided to bring those guys back, I have Velasquez, just because he throws hard, in my bullpen, and he doesn't start a game for me, because I know he can't do that. So if I'm going to have him back, I'm trying to give him a shot to do something he might be able to do, and I have a different starter, and at least I know if I bring him in the sixth inning, seventh inning, he throws hard. At least I have that, and maybe he can do that. Maybe he can concentrate for an inning, because he definitely can't concentrate for more than three or four. He can't. But maybe you can hone that in with a good pitching coach.
Yeah. There's two things they need to do in the next several days if it goes on this way, offensively, too. And they both involve Bohm. Now, I don't know if Bohm can hit up here consistently either. But either he's got to play first base to replace Hoskins, or he's got to play third base so Segura can replace the second baseman who looks totally lost.
Yes.
Totally lost. Both those guys on the right side of the infield look lost offensively.
You're right.
So both of them, if Bohm is in the lineup, plays third, Segura has to play second. One of those guys has to be pulled if this goes on for the next 3 days. You don't have enough time.
And Segura's giving you some decent at-bats. He's not a star or anything, but he hasn't looked, to me, as lost as Jetpack.
Yeah, Jetpacks is lost.
Yeah.
Let's go, Vince in Wilmington. Vince, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vince.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's up, Vince?
I definitely think that for some optimism, we got to think about how this team is structured. All right, so Horford and Richardson are defensive guys. The way they're going to win the championship is with defense and a dominant scorer in Embiid. Raptors did the same thing last year. A great defense, elite scorer in Kawhi. So that's how I think we're going to get it done.
They also had three-pointers all over the floor, Toronto.
I agree, but they still have the dominant scorer in Kawhi, because in the series against the Sixers, the only way they won is because Kawhi was being dominant. They had a hard time everywhere else because of his defense. You know what I'm saying? I know we don't have Jimmy and JJ, but the defense needs to be elite, and Embiid took that next step, at least in these feeding games, of being that dominant scorer. So,
yeah, I don't know if Horford is a dominant defensive player.
No, I don't think he's dominant either, but he's a good defender. It's another guy to put on Giannis when that time comes and when that matchup. That's the reason why I think they got him. Another guy to throw at him. While
if they get to Giannis,
if they get to Giannis,
because right now that's the question.
No, for sure. I just think the defense will be the main reason why. I know Ben's still been offensively, but
I think you're absolutely right. But so what are they doing? They playing possum defensively in the first three games here?
Oh, it's seeding games. I mean,
okay. So they're playing possum.
Yeah, well, Ben's always too cool for school. That's how he plays.
All right,
come playoffs.
I hope you're right. Now you could be right. And all these teams are scoring a lot of points, so maybe the defense isn't dug in yet, and they're looking at these eight games as just like exhibition games. And maybe it'll change in the playoffs. You're right. See, that's a reason for optimism. I'll take it.
Yeah, and they finally put Ben in what I think he needs to be in, is a role guy. He can't be an on-ball guy in half court. That's the reason why he made this change right before it happened, because we've seen what happened the past few seasons with him being on ball. They wall up and they don't have the shooters to knock him down. So they need to put him as a screener to get him as an advantage. At least help somebody else, because he can't help anybody on the ball unless they have shooters. So.
But they're going to need him to score too. It's not like they have a lot of scorers on this team.
No, I know. That's why I said as a screener, he can be like a pick and roll guy or a dribble handoff, but still, it's going to be rough offensively. It's going to be ugly as hell, but this defense.
All right, Vince. In other words, I should just not pay attention to what's going on now. Clear your mind. Clear the mechanism. And the playoffs will be different. Step up their defense, and Embiid's dominance will resonate a little more in a playoff situation when they're playing D. All right, I'm good. I'm going to hold these thoughts.
Yeah, and the Sixers, while they're 2-1, now the Lakers have lost twice in the bubble. Mm-hmm. They lost both to Toronto. They lost last night and only scored, I don't think they scored 90 points. The Bucks do lose to a bad Nets team that Boston then being on a back-to-back by like 30. I think that there is some weird stuff happening, and we're paying attention to the Sixers, but there's weird stuff happening to some other teams as well.
Yes.
Also, don't think that Porter Jr. out in Denver, who's scoring 30 every night, I don't think that's going to happen in the playoffs. There's people who do. I don't believe that this guy's going to come off the shelf with the bat and all of a sudden be a star. I think there's some weird... Same with Bol Bol. I don't think him being that thin is all of a sudden going to be physically dominant in the playoffs. I do think that there's some weirdness. And maybe the Sixers are just in this cyclone of weird right now.
All right.
There's some weird stuff going on.
I can't rule that out. I want to believe that.
Yeah, there's
a cycle of weirdness.
There's some weird stuff going on. And maybe some of it sticks, but it's not all going to stick. And in this cyclone of weird, you never know what might happen.
Uh-huh. All right. I'm good. Ian in Newark. Uh-oh. That's going to be bad. Ian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ian? What are you going to twist my brain today like a pretzel? No. Go ahead.
Mike, I'm optimistic still, man. You know why? You look at that lineup. Shake, Richardson, Harris, Thibault now is going to be in there, and Embiid, right? So if Richardson and Harris and Embiid can give you 40 minutes, that team, that's still a solid lineup. Now, with Simmons not there, it clears space on the floor. So I still think Sixers can – the good thing now they're going to fall to the sixth seed, and they can beat – they'll still beat Boston. I really believe that because Embiid is just such a factor. I mean, do you think I'm overvaluing Embiid?
No.
Because when he's out there, you got to look at him when he's out there, plus minus, even without Simmons, he's got the best plus minus in the league because the guy is such a factor. So I believe Sixers can still go far in the playoffs because it could, and I think Richardson is going to actually step up. He's better than what people think he is, though. And actually, Simmons could be an addition by subtraction in a way.
What are you seeing right now on Richardson?
Well, Richardson had a better year at Miami. I think he can give you more scoring, but it's going to come down to this, Mike. If Harris can give you 25 and 30, and B has to give you 40 minutes, it really comes to that. Like Simmons, just like the last 2 years in the playoffs, Simmons got exposed. I mean, what did he do the last three games? Well, he doesn't.
Wait. Where are your points coming from now?
So Harris has got to give you 25 to 30, and B's got to give you 30.
He's not going to give you 25 to 30 every game.
Harris is going to be shooting more, though, Mike.
Come on, man. Does he look like a 30-point guy, a game playoff guy? Hey, he's a nice player. He's not going to be LeBron scoring 25 to 30 every game.
Yeah, but before I get off, Mike, let me ask you a question. The one guy that I think could save the Sixers, though, is there any possible way that we can get Jay Wright at all?
Well, yeah, there's a way.
If we can get Jay Wright, and then the good thing about Simmons being gone, we're going to see how Sixers play. I really believe Sixers are going to score more. And it's like he's more of a headache on the offense, and I want to love Simmons, but when he doesn't shoot that 50, like foul line jumper like Chris Paul does, Chris Paul's a small guy. He's averaging 24 a game because he shot that shot. If Simmons scores a 3-point shot, shoot the foul line jumper, he doesn't even shoot that. I don't know about Brian. Talking about the 3-point shot, though.
Yeah, I got you. Tobias Harris, he's got the capability of being a prolific scorer. I don't know what he sees in Josh Richardson being able to score more. He's not going to be able to score more. He doesn't have that many ways to score.
Yeah, they're
he's
short.
A nice player, but, you know.
They're short a creator, which is why the Burks thing bothers me. Not because he's a great player, because he can create. They don't have enough creators off the bounce. And even Ben, in the half court too often, in big moments, isn't so much a shot creator.
Yeah.
Great passer, big. It's not that I'm saying he's bad, but they don't have guys that just throw me the ball and I can get my own. And Ben's not really that guy. Should be, but he's not there yet because he won't shoot.
He mentioned Jay Wright. I was looking at, where did I see the odds here? Villanova, here we go. 2021 NCAA season. The favorite to win
is Nova, right?
The national championship is Nova at 7-1.
Yeah.
With Iowa trailing way, like 15-2 trail.
Yeah, they got that, what you call it, that center went back to school, which was dumb, but it'll help them.
Luka Garza.
Yeah, he should have turned pro. You're not going to rate, I don't know, whatever. Do what you want.
Yeah. All right, so if Villanova wins the 2021 national title, that'd be 3 for Jay Bird.
Yeah.
So at that point, can you pry him loose?
Yes.
After
but,
three.
But yes, probably. But
okay.
But people don't want to wait another. That's another NBA season. You got to wait too. Then
yeah, that is true.
And people are restless. That's the. And I don't think.
Yeah, you're right. They would have to make a change if they don't. They would have to bring another coach in to give him a long term contract after this year if it fails.
Right, and you can't then give that guy 1 year.
Yeah.
With this unsettled
and you
roster,
you can't fire him after 1 year.
That's what I mean. And then fire him. That would be wrong to the next hire. So that's why they would have to throw, and this is during COVID, when the Sixers have lost some money, a lot of money probably. They probably don't really want to eat Brett Brown's contract.
No, they don't. So here we go.
They probably don't want to.
Here we go. In the pursuit of Jay Wright, since you know it's unrealistic now,
yeah,
but won't be unrealistic until after next year,
yeah,
you bring Brett back.
You know what?
In a 2021 year.
That people wouldn't like it, but especially if they lost in the first round. But your roster is not complete. We know that now.
Mm-hmm.
This would then have an off season for Elton and another trade deadline to try to get the roster right.
Uh-huh.
If you think you have the roster and then don't win, then you get rid of the coach and you slide Jay Wright in, and you have to pay Jay a lot of money. But by then, fans are back in stadiums and the money is flowing back in because you have to pay Jay a lot.
Here's the problem. You're doing it wishing upon a star.
Right, to get him. But maybe you think that you can get Carlisle out of Dallas. Or you think you can get... There are other great coaches out there. I just...
It would be a major gamble.
Huge gamble.
To bring him back where your only carrot is that you could hire Jay Wright, maybe.
You got to call
That's
call Jay's agent.
Yeah, but he's not going to commit to you.
I know he doesn't commit, listen.
At the end of the day, it's still Jay's world. If he goes, but maybe he wants to win another one, you know, and he's not interested in the NBA at all, in which case you have now not satisfied your fan base by bringing Brett Bam back. All right, 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show continues. 3 minute break. We're back.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 247. It is the Mike Missanelli Show, because the official diagnosis on Ben Simmons, subluxation of the left patella. So that's like a little bit of a separation.
Yes, a partially dislocated kneecap.
Yeah. That means he won't play for the rest of the 8, in my view. So... Yeah. You know, we'll see how they look, how they adapt, how they play differently without Ben. And I guarantee you, they're probably going to win one of these games where they look good, and people are going to say, see, you don't need Ben.
Yeah, it always happens.
Yeah.
It's the backup goalie theory.
Uh-huh. Speaking of backup goalies, the Moose is in the net today.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't see
Moose
that.
Moose is playing today.
Oh, they're not going to win.
They're getting some work. They're giving him some work today.
Yeah, they're not going to win.
You don't like that? You don't like that decision?
No, the kid was lights out on Sunday. And it was Sunday. Today's Thursday.
I understand.
And then they have a day off and play against Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
He's 21 years old.
I get it.
I hate it.
The fact that he feels he needs to get him some work means maybe he's figuring Elliott in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, he's probably going to do the 2 thing because he thinks he's too young. And I get it. You don't want to give the kid too much too soon.
Yeah.
I get it, but he also put on a little bit of muscle apparently during that layoff.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like he's in his second year because he had basically an off season worth of time off.
Really? Yeah.
Because really, if you look at the off season, I think it was actually long. This layoff in between season was longer than the most off seasons. He did work out. He put on a little thicker. I mean, it's going to take him time because he's a small, young guy, but it just, I don't like it.
Now, the Caps are a slight favorite in this game?
They were this morning.
This guy just sent me an email, said the Flyers are minus 103.
I'll check. It could have moved, but it definitely opened like Caps minus 115. It was slight, but it was there this morning.
I would think the Caps would be minus 115 because Elliott's playing. But
let me check the updated real fast.
All right, let's go to Phoenix in the meantime. Mitch. Mitch in Phoenix, what's up, bud?
How you doing, Mike?
What's going on, Mitch? How you doing? Back's good.
It's terrible. It's terrible here. This has been the hottest summer on record. We've been averaging about a 110, 112 with an overnight low of 90.
But it's not the heat, it's the humidity. Right? No, isn't that what they say? No. I don't know. I got news for you. I think we've had a worse summer. 95, 96 every day with high humidity.
Yeah, but didn't that start like a couple of weeks ago?
It's been all summer. Our grasses are burned out. Our plants are rotted.
Right.
Terrible. At least you got cactus out there.
Yeah, too many cactus. Yeah. Regarding Ben Simmons, he's been in a protected bubble long before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
This guy does what he wants when he wants to. He doesn't listen to the coach. He doesn't listen to the fans. He don't listen to me. He don't listen to you. He just does his thing. And let me tell you something. It's not good. So until they get rid of Ben Simmons and Brett Brown and the general manager, nothing will change with that organization.
Well, you're jumping the gun a little bit.
No, I'm not.
Brett is not going to be back next year. But you just don't give up a talent like Simmons.
Oh, yes, you do. No. You should have traded Ben Simmons 3 years ago.
Where's your trade? It makes sense. You want to trade Ben for him?
Well, it doesn't matter now because they're pretty much stuck with the guy because of his contract.
No, they can trade him. You just got to get a player worthy of trade. People look at Ben Simmons as a superstar in the making right now that they would trade for him. But you got to get somebody worthy. Like Devin, I would maybe think about trading him for Devin Booker, but Phoenix is not going to make that trade. Luka Doncic, I consider that, but Dallas is going to trade Luka Doncic for him.
Well, you're talking about very talented people that are interested in winning and playing the game to its fullest. That's not Ben Simmons. You know, general managers see what Ben Simmons can do and what he can't do. And one thing we know what he can't do is shoot the damn ball.
Yeah, I get it, Mitch. We're all frustrated by that. What I'm saying to you is that you just can't make a trade for the sake of making a trade. You got to get value in return. And you're not going to sell him pennies on the dollar. So at that point, if you can't get Devin Booker or Luka Doncic, you got to keep them.
Yeah, I think they're stuck with him. I really do. And
you don't want to say trade him.
Well, yeah, but I think they're stuck with him as far as being...
They're not stuck with him. He can still be a star player in this league. I just got to give it a little more time. Philly's lineup is out tonight. McCutcheon, Hoskins still in the two-hole. Harper, Realmuto, Gosselin moved up to the five-hole. That's overvaluing it. Don't overreact. Come on. Didi, Kingery, still in the lineup. Walker's your DH. Oh, Gosselin's a DH. Where's Walker playing?
Third.
He's playing third tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're giving Segura a break. Yeah. All right. Walker playing third. Roman Quinn in center.
I mean, keeps on being stubborn. The other guy's better.
Who, Hazley?
Hazley's better. I flat out think he's better.
Left-handed tonight.
I get it. Sooner or later, you're going to have to find out if he can hit against lefties. Sooner or later, he has such a small sample size, and he's been hitting the ball well. Give him the kid. I don't agree with it. Maybe it'll work out, and I guess that's conventional. But he's been having good swings on the ball. He's playing a good center field so far for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't had enough at-bats against lefties in the minors or the majors because it moves so quick for you to have a sample size to know whether or not he can hit them. That's really my point. Maybe he's terrible at it, but you haven't seen it enough of it because he hasn't gotten a chance to do it.
Yeah.
So I think it's a mistake, but it's the nine-hole, so whatever.
All right, so it's Jordan Montgomery, the lefty who had a really good outing, his first time out for the Yankees against Zach Eflin. Here's my prediction. Zach Eflin gets hammered today. That's my prediction. All right. So NBC Sports Philly, stay tuned for the warm-up and then Flyers hockey. The Mike Mussinelli Show continues on radio for the 3 o'clock hour. We'll talk to you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.